Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Hey, Preston Purr.
Hey, Jackie here, Purr.
The first time you went to St. Louis, did everybody call you that?
Yeah. And said stars, and said dar, and said call. And car. Yeah, y'all just added like four R's to everything. I just was just so confused by it.
Butch, is it ka? Is that the correct pronunciation? Yeah,
okay, in Chicago, we ka? We take off the R's.
Here?
Yeah, and we add an A.
There?
So it's not stairs, it's stairs. It's not
stairs.
It's not car, it's ka.
Ka.
It's not
pop.
Not, it's not party, it's potty. It's
potty.
Potty. Potty.
Over there.
Over there. Yeah. So we take away ours, y'all add ours.
We do. And Memphis. It was surprising to me when I like got around Memphis people. I was like, oh, y'all say here, there, where, stairs too. Just
yeah.
Like us.
Yeah.
And it's interesting how dialects develop. Because like white people in St. Louis don't speak like that.
Yeah.
And white people in Chicago don't
speak like
it's
that.
Two different dialects, even according to like ethnicity within the same city.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't realize that until I became a grown up. It's like, oh, y'all don't even say
no, they don't. But they have a particular sound. I can't mimic it, but like white Chicagoans, it sounds kind of like Wisconsin.
Yeah, I was very shocked when I started to travel outside of my city and I saw other black people say soda.
Yeah.
Because in Chicago only white people say soda.
Really?
Yes. In Chicago all black people say pop.
Yeah, St. Louis everything is soda.
Yeah. And so I was like, why is these ghetto?
Or depending on if you grew up in the hood, they say sody. They don't even say soda, it's sody.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Y'all also say don't all y'all say daddy? Daddy?
Daddy, yeah. Daddy.
That's my daddy.
Everybody say daddy. I don't know why I say daddy. I don't know. That sounds weird even coming to my mouth. Daddy.
Diddy. Okay. Anyway, that has nothing to do with what we're going to talk about.
We always do that. We always go on a little banter that has nothing to do with the.
But I think it's helpful because, you know, you got people right now, they driving in their car, they washing their dishes, they cleaning up the house, they finna pick up their kids from school.
Right.
And so
they digging up their nose.
Nasty. So we are just, you know, trying to introduce ourselves in a way that's super lighthearted and funny and comical before we get into the meat of the issue, which is the Trinity.
Boom, Trinity.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
So with the Perrys is going on tour.
Straight is.
Don't know if you knew that already.
Yep.
I think we're doing 14 cities.
Oh, yeah. You wanted me to say something. We're doing 14 cities.
And he's going to talk about apologetics.
And what you going to talk about?
I'm going to preach some Bible. And then we're going to have a live conversation with the saints about something that you pick. We're going to give y'all the opportunity to pick the conversation that we actually end up having.
And it's going to be God glorifying. It's going to be uplifting to the body of Christ. But mm-hmm. We're going to have fun.
I think so.
We're going to have a lot of fun. A lot of y'all have been trying to get the Bold Apparel merch. And I'm bringing all the merch on tour.
Oh,
like,
yay.
Like all of it.
Beautiful.
And,
you know,
and we're also coming on tour with our books. With my new book. All of Jackie, 1,900 books.
It's only four.
It's a lot. And so, man, be on the lookout, man.
All right. So show notes, www.withtheperrys.com/tour.
Okay. So this is the thing. Trinity, the concept that God is one God that exists in three distinct persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Yes.
This is a doctrine, historic doctrine of the Christian faith that confuses a lot of people.
Yes.
But there's also a whole bunch of people that disagree with the doctrine of the Trinity. And so we felt, why not just discuss it? Because to discuss the Trinity is to discuss God.
Yeah.
If Scripture is correct in displaying God as God, one God in three persons.
And if he has revealed to us that this is the way that he exists, mm-hmm. it's important.
So
it's very important.
You, the apologist, this is
you
your
are an
waters.
Apologist too.
Different than I would call myself a cultural apologist.
You're still an apologist.
That kind of deals in the realm of ethics. You, as a kind of apologist, you deal more with like religion and doctrine and all of those things. And
yeah.
So you come in contact with this a lot.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the religions that are not Christian, they all have some kind of doctrine about the Trinity that is not actually scriptural.
Yeah. Or just defute it and just reject it altogether.
So Jehovah's Witnesses, what do they believe about the Trinity?
They don't believe that the Trinity, they don't believe in the Trinity. They believe that Jesus is Michael the Archangel, mm-hmm. and that he was reincarnated as a man, mm-hmm. and then when he died, not on a cross but on a stake, that he went back to heaven and he was
started being
Michael the Archangel again. They believe that the Father is Jehovah. They believe that he is the supreme being, mm-hmm. and they believe that Jesus is a created being, the first and greatest creation of Jehovah, mm-hmm. and they believe that the Holy Spirit is not a person. They don't believe that he is alive in a sense that a person is. They mm-hmm. believe that he is God. They will say that he's God's active force.
And by person, we mean not human. We mean being. Having life and existence.
Right, right, and have the characteristics of a person, yeah. which
can be grieved.
It can be grieved. Can be upset. Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, Islam. What do they believe about the Trinity?
They believe that Allah is God. They believe that Jesus is a great prophet, mm-hmm. Someone who God sent to be a messenger, mm-hmm. But that he's merely a prophet, mm-hmm. that he is a person that we should listen to, that we should have a deep reverence for, but not worship. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think in a lot of ways they would just deny the Holy Spirit because the Islamic faith is very heavy on works, right? Mm-hmm. And so not
and monotheism.
Monotheism, right? And so like this
Scripture affirms.
Right, yeah. like us working and us doing the things that we have to do to mm-hmm. to be in right standing with Allah.
Mormons.
Let me just say this. Mormons look like Christians more than any other religion.
Yes.
Right? And the reason why is because they have all the language that Christians have. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? They will tell you that, you know, they believe that Jesus is God. Mm-hmm. You know, they believe that the Holy Spirit is God. They believe that the Father is God. But then when you start to dig in their religion, they will tell you that they believe in a plurality of gods, that they believe mm-hmm. that there are millions and billions of gods mm-hmm. in the universe. They also believe that when they die, they can progress to godhood. This is the reason why Joseph Smith, the man who founded the LDS Church, says, you know, that we can all become gods mm-hmm. one day, mm-hmm. that when we die, we can become gods who rule our own universe, mm-hmm. and so they're very unique in that way. And so they believe that that God was once a man who progressed to godhood, mm-hmm. and so they would tell you that Jesus was actually a man mm-hmm. who one day progressed to godhood. And in the same way, Jesus was a man who progressed to godhood. If you are faithful, mm-hmm. if you finish your 3-year missionary journey, mm-hmm. because that's when you see Mormons out, you know, handing out tracts mm-hmm. with their little white t-shirts and black pants on. They're on their 3-year missionary journey, like Jesus was on his 3-year missionary journey. Mm-hmm. And so the men are called elders, the women are called sisters. Mm-hmm. And so they believe that if they're faithful, if they do all the things, mm-hmm. That they also can progress to godhood.
One more. So in Hebrew Israelism, we know that they have different sects with different beliefs. But is there a consistent belief regarding the Trinity?
Yeah, I feel like they all reject it. And so in the same way the Muslims would tell you that he is a great prophet, a great leader, the Hebrew Israelism would say the same thing, that Jesus is a great prophet, a great man, someone we should listen to, but he is not God in the flesh. They would deny him, his deity in that way. And they would say that the Father is the one who is, you know, they believe in polytheism. They believe that there's only one God, and that's the Father. And so
now in a unique, would it be called denomination, oneness, Pentecostalism?
Yes.
Okay. So I think their vantage point of the Trinity is a little unique in that they believe that God exists in modes.
Yeah. So I don't think that oneness Pentecostal would actually frame it in that way, but I do think that essentially what they believe is modalism. And I think it's really good that we're having this conversation, because I think even the way Christians attempt to describe what the Trinity is sometimes can seem like modalism.
Let me do it for you.
Okay,
so it's a youth service and you got all these, you know, 12, 13, 14 year olds, and you're like, okay, we're gonna teach them the Trinity today. And so they get some water. And they say, okay, this water is God. But then they say, okay, you see how water can turn into ice? That's the sun. And how this ice can turn into steam? That's the spirit. See, the same substance, but existing in three different ways. But the problem is that's modalism.
Yeah, that's modalism.
Because they're the same thing not existing as three separate
persons at the same time.
Exactly.
Right. And so God doesn't have to stop being the Father to act as the Son.
Come on here.
In the same way, water doesn't have to stop being liquid.
Yeah, yeah.
To act as steam. Uh-huh. Right. And so
they got me excited.
I think a lot of times I think Christians mean well when they're trying to explain what the Trinity is, and to try to break it down to people. I had this clip on my YouTube channel, Bold TV, while I was talking about the Trinity, and I was saying that God is one God who exists in three co-equal persons. And what Christians do not believe is modalism, which is this idea that the Father stops being the Father and acts as the Son, and the Son stops being the Son and acts as the Holy Spirit. And then I had so many comments. It was like, amen, Preston. The way I'll explain it is, we are a man is a father, but he is also a son, and he is also a brother. And it's like, okay, I get what you're trying to say, but God doesn't exist that way.
Yeah.
Right? God is one God in nature who exists in three co-equal persons. And so when you talk to oneness Pentecostals, they'll tell you that when Jesus, for example, was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was actually praying to his divine side. That this was not
the Father.
Yeah, right. He wasn't praying to another person. He was actually praying to his divine side, which I don't think scripture communicates, right? And so I think the Bible throughout the Old Testament going to the New lets us know that there is one God who exists in three co-equal persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
I do understand the reason behind trying to explain the Trinity in that way, because you want God to make sense to people. But I remember one of the wisest counsels I've heard regarding it is, don't apply or don't explain God in metaphors that scripture itself does not use.
Yes.
And so how scripture explains the triune nature of God is probably the safest way for us to explain the triune nature of God, lest we start to dive into heretical waters.
Yeah.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
So with the Perrys is going on tour.
Straight is.
Don't know if you knew that already.
Yep.
I think we're doing 14 cities.
Oh, yeah. You wanted me to say something. We're doing 14 cities.
And he's going to talk about apologetics.
And what you going to talk about?
I'm going to preach some Bible. And then we're going to have a live conversation with the saints about something that you pick. We're going to give y'all the opportunity to pick the conversation that we actually end up having.
And it's going to be God glorifying. It's going to be uplifting to the body of Christ. But mm-hmm. we're going to have fun.
I think so.
We're going to have a lot of fun. A lot of y'all have been trying to get the Bold Apparel merch, and I'm bringing all the merch on tour.
Oh,
like,
yay.
Like all of it.
Beautiful.
And we're also coming on tour with our books, with my new book, all of Jackie, 1900 books.
It's only four.
It's a lot. And so, man, be on the lookout, man.
All right. So show notes, www.withtheperrys.com/tour.
Now, is it true that some people believe that the Trinity is a doctrine that was created at the Council of Nicaea?
Yes.
Why?
Because I think when you listen to with the emergence of Hebrew Israelism, which we have so many different camps in America now, and then Muslims and even Jehovah's Witness and even Mormons, they will all say, they all teach this false ideology that the Trinity was something that was created during the Council of Nicaea, mm-hmm. which 7 years prior, a man named Tertullian.
Oh, look at you. Church history.
Right.
He was black, wasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he, no? was, he was an African.
Yeah.
He was North African.
Look at that.
Right. And so a lot of times these religions, like the Hebrew Israelites and even the Muslims, they would tell you that the Trinitarian doctrine stemmed from white church leaders mm-hmm. doing slavery, and that's not true, because Tertullian was who was this African man mm-hmm. helped define the Trinity 7 years before the Council of Nicaea in mm-hmm. the third century. And so if he helped define if he was teaching what the Trinity was 7 years before the Council of Nicaea, mm-hmm. we know 7 years later when the Council of Nicaea happened, it's not when they created the Trinitarian doctrine.
The Council of Nicaea was not the creation of doctrines.
Yeah, it was a conversation. Mm-hmm. It was a conversation to figure out what do we believe mm-hmm. as a church. Yep. And when they came together to figure out what do we believe and what are we going to believe going forward, they came to the conclusion that, no, God has revealed himself as one God who exists in three co-equal persons.
Now, this is the thing. If we read the Bible, right, there is no mention of the language of Trinity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so what scriptural basis do you have to argue that God is one God existing in three co-equal persons?
Well, the Bible does say Godhead in Revelations, right? And so it talks about
Revelation.
I'm sorry.
Black people love to put an S on the end of Revelation.
So the Bible does talk about, you know, the Godhead, mm-hmm. And which is essentially is the Trinity. Mm-hmm. But we see one thing I think that is important to know is that God reveals who he is over a course of time throughout history. Mm-hmm. And so there are things that Jesus came and revealed about his nature that humanity didn't know.
Such as?
In the Old Testament. That's a really good question. Such as how we are supposed to accept the law and, mm-hmm. and how we're supposed to live by the law and how we're supposed to not be under the curse of the law mm-hmm. or whatever. We didn't fully understand these things mm-hmm. about God and how we should worship God until Jesus came.
That God would fulfill the law through Jesus but not abolish the law.
Absolutely, yeah. Right? And so I believe in this thing called progressive revelation, that God reveals himself over time. And so I think when we see how God exists in scripture, we see that over time God is slowly revealing how he exists mm-hmm. as God, mm-hmm. right? And so we see this in the beginning in Genesis, when we see that in the when God created the world, we see that there are three separate people actively involved in the creation of the world. Mm-hmm. We see that the Father speaks and initiates the creation of the world. Mm-hmm. We see that the Son comes then and creates all things. Mm-hmm. We see this in Hebrews when it says that Jesus made all things, the heavens and the earth, and the heavens was made by the work of his hands. Mm-hmm. We see that the Holy Spirit came and hovered over the face of the deep, solidifying all that Jesus had made mm-hmm. in the same way that a eagle will hover over its nest, making sure the egg and the life
life is brought forth. And so we see all three members of the Trinity actively involved in creation. And then later on, when you come and see the New Testament, Jesus is making claims only the Father God can make. And it's like, so if he is not equal with the Father, why is he saying things like, God, the Father, glorify me with the same glory that I share with you in heaven before the world
began? It's the word share for me.
Right.
It's the word share
right.
for me.
Yeah. And so
this is ours.
Right. And so if Jesus is not equal with this, with the Father who is God. Mm-hmm. So if the Old Testament says in Isaiah 42:8 that God shares his glory with no other. Mm-hmm. And then Jesus comes and says things that that seems to contradict that if he's not God, mm-hmm. when he says that the Father glorify me with the same glory I share with you in heaven before the world began, mm-hmm. we see why is this, if he's a created being, how can a created being then come and say things like that mm-hmm. if he is not equal with the Father? Mm-hmm. And also too, from the oneness Pentecostal view, right? For those who believe that Jesus kind of like acts in molds, that he stops being the Father and acts as the Son, mm-hmm. and he's a human being praying to his divine side. So essentially Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane is praying to himself. Mm-hmm. Why does he use language like share? Mm-hmm. Like no one can share something with them with themselves, right? Why does he use language like my Father?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so like we see that I think it's difficult to wrap our minds around the fact that God is one God who exists in three co-equal persons, because it's so unlike how we exist.
Yes, it is that we are human and finite. And so our brain has a cap.
Absolutely.
To what it can understand and fathom. But God exists as a transcendent, unique being, meaning God is completely independent of earth, meaning he doesn't need anybody for him to be himself.
Yeah.
But he's also transcendent, meaning he exists in a completely different way than we do.
Yes.
And so I think some of the pushback about the Trinity is just out of us not being able to understand that God is different.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is, when I've had conversations with my Jehovah's Witness friends or my Mormon friends, whatever, one of the things that they say, they always bring in logic when it comes to talking about the Trinity. Mm-hmm. And then they say things like, don't just say because he's God, because God is a logical God. But it's like, okay, you believe in logical things too. Mm-hmm. You believe that Jesus is Michael the Archangel when the Bible doesn't support that, right? Mm-hmm. You believe that God spoke the world into existence like I do. That's not a logical concept, right?
Right. It's true.
But at the same time, when we think about what you just said about how God doesn't need these things to exist in the way we need, mm-hmm. like time, space, and matter, we see that when he doesn't need these things and when he's not restricted by these things, it is very logical then to see that God can be one God who can exist in three co-equal persons, because I can't. I can't do that. Because I'm limited by time, space, and matter.
Yeah.
And so my being cannot be disconnected to my spirit. My mm-hmm. spirit, soul, and body has to be wrapped up into one being. Mm-hmm. But a God who is not limited by time, space, and matter, mm-hmm. he doesn't have those restrictions.
I mean,
does that make sense?
We walking heavy, because this is the thing. Like, basically, like, God is God, and it's so hard, because people can use that language as a cop out to not dive deep into like mystery and understand stuff, right?
Right.
Like, God is God, so we not finna question God. It's like, nah, like God has revealed himself. He has given us a means to understand him. That's why we have 66 books of the Bible, but that doesn't mean that we will fully be able to understand everything. Why? Because he's God. Even the fact, like even something small, like I was studying when God made a covenant with Abram in Genesis 12, 13, 14, 15, one of them. And, you know, when Abram goes to sleep, God manifests himself as a pot
mm-hmm.
and a torch. That's weird.
Yeah.
Right? But again, God doesn't exist in the same way that we do.
Yeah.
And so is it possible then, if God can manifest as fire on Mount Sinai, and he can manifest as in a burning bush that is not consumed, and as a pot, and as an incarnate God coming through a virgin, that it's also possible that he exists as three persons, yet one God?
And let me just say this, and I want to be careful, because I think we should be careful when talking about the way God has revealed how he exists. Mm-hmm. What I'm, the Trinity is still a mystery. And so when I say things like that God is not restricted by time, space, and matter, I'm not trying to communicate that I have somehow cracked this mystery,
right,
or fully grasped how God has revealed himself, right? I've only can understand what, or attempt to understand what he's revealed in scripture, mm-hmm, right? That's what I can do. But what I am saying is, for those who would try to bring the logic into it and try to compare the way God exists to how we exist, we have to understand that God is not restricted. And I think even other religions will know that. No, they'll say, no, God, I know God isn't restricted. Mm-hmm. But have you fully considered that when thinking about the Trinity,
mm-hmm,
and how he has revealed himself in scripture? Or are you closely associating God's existence with somehow how you exist?
Mm-hmm.
I'm one. You cannot use these human restrictions, mm-hmm, to a God who exists outside of time, space, and matter. It's just not logical, right? We are restricted because we were created in a time frame. God is not. You know what I'm saying? We were created like when God created all matter in space, like he's outside of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, like the Jehovah's Witnesses will say, can you and your father be one? Can you and your father be the same? And it's like, no, like if we're really using the logic of human beings, mm-hmm, what God is one God, right? That's, mm-hmm, what he is in nature.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I think about me as a son, my father being Maverick Perry, like, I am technically equal with him in essence.
Mm-hmm. As a human being.
As a human being.
Mm-hmm.
And so if Jesus is saying that he is the only begotten son of the Father,
mm-hmm,
he is making a very important claim there.
Mm-hmm.
He is saying, I share the same essence as God.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he's saying.
Yeah.
And so to deny that the Father and the Son are equal, mm-hmm, in that way is essentially deny Jesus' claim as being the only begotten son, because, mm-hmm, nobody can be the only begotten son of a holy and a righteous God. In the same way,
Father,
yeah, I share the same essence with my father as a human.
Now, we've been way up in the clouds.
It's not way up in the clouds.
It is in the clouds.
It's probably like right below the clouds.
It's in the clouds. Let's bring it down to earth. All right. There are some practical implications to God being triune. One, that we are made in God's image.
Yes.
Therefore, we are made for relationship and community.
Mm-hmm.
Because in Genesis, God says, let us make man in our image. And I think that is the reason why in Genesis 2, when God looked at Adam, he said, it's not good for man to be alone. Why? Because if I'm made in the image of God, then it's not that I need other people to be fully human.
Yes.
But it's that in imaging God, it's not good for me to be isolated from other people.
Yeah, because he's like, never been isolated. He's always
existed in a community of persons.
Absolutely.
He is always like, God the Father has always been loving the Son. The Son has always been loving the Spirit. And even in God saving us, what does he do? He brings us into this love relationship with God himself, but also with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really think that's why it's so problematic, for example, when people go into solitary confinement.
Yeah.
Why their humanity and their identity and their sense of self and their mind breaks down, because it's not good. Why? For man to be alone, because God himself isn't.
Well, that's so good. That's so good, because God created us to image him in that
way. There we go.
He is a communal God. But also, to add to that, I think, for those who deny that Jesus and the Holy Spirit shares the same nature as the Father, or deny that they've always existed with one another for all of eternity, you have a hard time you have a hard time proving that you, the God you serve has always been a God of love.
Okay, let me rephrase your premise. You're saying that to make the claim that God is love, you have to affirm the Trinity. Is that what you're saying?
Technically, yes. And this is the reason why.
What's the proof?
The reason why is because if you believe that you serve a God who at one point created Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. And the Holy Spirit hasn't always been equal with the Father. Mm-hmm. You believe that at one point you serve a God that existed alone with no one to actively love. Mm. And so if love is an action that can only be expressed by loving another subject,
uh-huh.
right? To say that we serve a God who existed alone with no one to actively love, mm-hmm. what is your proof? What epistemology you have?
Epistemology!
Right? If an atheist comes and say, how do you know that your God at one point wasn't a God of hate when love, that is an action,
mm-hmm.
your God at one point existed alone with no one to actively love. What is your proof that your God has always been a God of love? I think the Trinitarian doctrine gives us proof that we serve a God that has always actively loved someone. Mm-hmm. And this is the reason why we know that our God is a God of love, because so, he has never existed alone with no one to actively love.
So God did not become loving. He is
loving.
Loving.
Yeah, he never had to become a loving God,
mm.
right? He didn't create his creation to become loving. He's always existed with his Son and his Holy Spirit, and they've always actively loved each other perfectly.
One of my favorite, I've talked about this book so much because it really helped to like help my mind, I guess, understand the way God exists as a Trinity, called Delighting in the Trinity, mm-hmm. by Michael Reeves. And he affirms what you're saying. He says this: now God could not be love if there was nobody to love.
Mm-hmm.
He could not be a father without a child. And yet it is not as if God created so that he could love someone. He is love and does not need to create in order to be who he is.
Mm. Yeah.
And I share that because it's not like you kind of just imagined this real deep thing that you wanted to share on 30 Minutes with the Perrys.
Yeah.
Is actually scholars out there in the world that would affirm the same thing. Why? Because it's scripture.
Yeah.
You know. Now, would you go on a limb to say that one must believe in the Trinity to be saved? And I know this gets dangerous when we start to exclude people on the basis of our own interpretation, mm-hmm. right? But for me, it seems as if even when Jesus spoke to the Pharisees and says, if you don't believe that I am who I say I am, your sins cannot be forgiven you. Meaning, if you deny me as God, the Son sent from the Father, then that means that your like eternal state is kind of on the line.
Mm-hmm.
And denying the fact that God exists in the Trinity, an expression of that is denying that Jesus is indeed God. No. Mm.
Yeah, no. Seriously, I do think that the Trinitarian doctrine is, in a lot of ways, and I've wrestled with this, I'm going to be honest with you, for some years, but I do think that it is essential to the Christian faith. Mm. I think because when Jesus comes, I think that he changes everything.
Mm.
Jesus, he changes everything. And I think one of the things that Jesus shows us is that he's not merely authoritative because the Father sent him,
mm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
He's authoritative because he has always been God,
yeah.
right? And so if we do not recognize him as God, right? And if we don't even recognize the Holy Spirit as God, we can be like Ananias and Sapphira, who mm-hmm. grieve the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. right? And who offends the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. right? We can be like the Pharisees, who consistently disrespect Jesus because when he comes, they don't recognize him for who he is. Mm-hmm. I think understanding how God has revealed how he exists mm-hmm. is gives us really deep implications on how we should worship him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do think it's important.
I think one of the beautiful things is when I learned how to understand salvation and how the triune God plays a part in that. Because I think sometimes salvation, not all the time, we put a lot of emphasis on Jesus, and we should, mm-hmm. right? But like the Godhead is active in salvation.
Yeah.
Like God the Father elects and sends the Son.
Mm-hmm.
The Son lives a holy, righteous life, goes to the cross, taking the penalty of our sin, becoming a propitiation for our sin, absorbing the wrath of the Father that was meant for us.
Amen.
And revealing the love of God so that we can see it and believe him. And then raises sends. From the dead
oh.
and then sends the Spirit mm-hmm. to fill and seal us mm-hmm. for the day of redemption. And not even that, like even now the Holy Spirit regenerates, mm-hmm. creating in the same way that he created the heavens and the earth. He recreates a new heart within us and then sanctifies us, making us holy like the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And like gives us the church to like do all the things. Like God is so active, like the whole Godhead,
yeah,
it's is active in redeeming creation
and actively involved in our sanctification process, in our salvation, right?
I got another one. You ready?
Yes.
Okay. So I was having a conversation with somebody, and they were like, "Okay, you'll know who when I start explaining this thing." They was like, "So why they be saying that God is God and Jesus is God all at the same time? Like, what they got to do with anything?" So I was trying to explain the Trinity or whatever. And then I somehow brought up how Jesus is at the right hand of the Father interceding for us.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, this is the thing. I said, God saves us. And then Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father. And now he makes intercession for us. And this intercession comes like the means by which Jesus prays for us. It works out through the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so even now, the whole triune God is active in keeping us and saving us mm-hmm. and preserving us and all of that. And they was like, wow, that means there's so much more power because the whole God
yeah.
is at work in making sure I'm good. And I said, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
The whole God
yeah.
is at work. And yeah. I just think it adds a different intentionality and beauty to the way we understand salvation.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's weird, man. I think one way we could attempt to understand the Trinity is first acceptance. Hmm. Right? I think it's hard, right? When we have been humans our whole life.
And we'll always be.
And we'll always be.
Mm-hmm.
But when we understand that God does not exist like us,
right?
Just I had when I first became a Christian and I first started to wrestle with these things, I had to understand that God is showing me that I do not exist the same way you exist,
mm-hmm.
and so like see how I have revealed myself in my scriptures, study me, and don't try to figure out something that I haven't revealed about myself. There's things about God that I feel like we won't know until we get to heaven. And even when we get to heaven, we probably still won't know.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's a big...
the fact he showed up as a pot and a torch is all the proof I need to know that God is different.
Yeah, yeah. But God doesn't exist like us. And so if we're trying to fit God in a humanistic framework, we're going to fail every time because he's not a human.
Well, you know, I intentionally avoided the EFS conversation about the eternal functional subordination of the Son.
Oh, my doctrine. Goodness.
But we won't go there. Not today.
Another podcast.
All right. What else? Bye.
Peace.
30 Minutes with the Perrys is a production of Ivy Media Podcast. Edited by Angie Elkins. Video recording and audio production by Kim Powell. Artwork by Hop and music by Swoop. Join us on Patreon for early access to With the Perrys episodes and other exclusives. You got two options. You can go to www.patreon.com/withtheperrys or just go ahead, scroll. You'll find the link in our show notes. We are the Perrys. Thank y'all for listening. Now go with God.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends.
Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, Essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.